Our scripture this morning comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. That's pages 712 and 713 in the Pew Bibles if you wish to follow along. Now when the Pharisees gathered together to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, observing the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they purify themselves, and there are many other traditions which they observe, the washing of cups and pots and vessels of bronze. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with hands undefiled?" Are defiled. And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' You leave the commandments of God and hold fast the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, what would you have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition which you hand on. And many such things you do." May God bless the reading of this, his word.
Was me. I turned it off. One of my favorite musicals. I love musicals. I love every musical I've seen. But one of my favorites is Fiddler on the Roof. And when I read this passage of scripture, I always think of that. I think of Tevye saying tradition. Wish I could do it in his dialect. My dad could have done that, but I can't. But I love Fiddler on the Roof, and the idea is, and he explains this in the beginning, that the fiddler is playing this wonderful tune on the edge, you know, on the top of the roof, and trying to keep balance while playing this wonderful tune. And so Tevye says that is the tradition is what holds the balance of Anatevka. I can't speak. The tradition is what holds them together, and that's what that whole musical is about. It's wonderful. And I think about my own home. I think about the time when my grandkids were real little, and actually they did it this summer again. It surprised me. I don't know why it should, but it always surprises me when they want to say the prayers that I taught their parents to say, because we always sang our blessings. And so when my grandchildren reached out their little, when they were real little, and reached out their hands and began to sing that blessing, that tradition was so wonderful and made me feel really good to know that that tradition was being carried on. Well, in Fiddler on the Roof, it's talking about tradition, or it's maybe a metaphor for survival. Tradition, how it keeps us surviving. And so the fiddler on the roof is trying to scratch out a pleasant, good, sweet song while trying not to break his neck. And Tevye says, "How do we keep our balance?" He says, "Well, it's tradition." And life is, even today, even more so then, but even today, life is a balancing act. Well, there's tradition in, well, we've always done it that way, which can be good. You know, we usually use that phrase meaning something bad, but we've always done it that way. It can be a good tradition. I know last November, my dad died right before Thanksgiving. Well, it's traditional to have Thanksgiving in our home, and so everybody was there for the funeral, but we decided to go ahead and have Thanksgiving dinner. And what that tradition did for us as a family was gave us a way to cry, because we laughed and cried when we realized that Dad, who would have done the shopping that week but died, that week he would have gone and gotten the corn that we needed for the corn casserole, for the scallop corn. So at the last minute, we had no scallop corn. And then the very funny part, I had the schedule for how to get everything done, when to put these certain things into the oven. And my dad was a great cook and usually handled the kitchen. Well, it came time to put the potatoes on, and guess what? Dad did not peel our potatoes. So we had no potatoes for our Thanksgiving dinner. But you see, it was the tradition that gave us that bittersweet Thanksgiving dinner and became a very special Thanksgiving at a very tough time. Well, the church has traditions. We gather at the communion table every Sunday. And it's that communion table that unites us, whether we're having difficulties deciding things, or we're unhappy about what song we're singing, or we're tired of all these programs that we're having to try to do and handle. All of that gets swept aside when we step to the table, when we pass that plate. We become one no matter what. Right now, today, is Veterans Day. Veterans Day brings us together as a country. Our pledge to the flag is our bringing together of us as fellow U.S. citizens. The July 4th fireworks remind us of who we are, where our beginnings were. Our hymns in the church, many of them are traditional, and so those of us who were brought up in the church remember those hymns, and those hymns become something familiar, something we need, our foundation that helps us to feel solid within this room. And some of the contemporary music now is becoming that tradition, that which we hold on to. Often I hear people say, what's going to happen with the church, the future of the church, when we see that our churches are dwindling in attendance? And I always say, no, it will continue on. Now, it will be different. We do have to learn to be okay with some change. But the church will always be here, because you see, people come to the church, whether they attend or not. They come here at death. They come here for weddings. They come here for dedications of babies, whether they attend church or not. They come to this holy place for those important life-changing times within their lives. And that's a shared experience, kind of like our Thanksgiving. It's a shared experience that we come together to be with one another in those life changes. But we've always done it that way. Can also be a bad thing. That can also be uninviting. If we have visitors coming in the door, if we're not thinking about tradition versus doing things maybe a little different, or if we're not listening to those who are coming into our environment and not willing to compromise, then what we've always done it that way can be a bad thing. I was in Canada on vacation this week, which is probably why I'm a little off center today. But we were having troubles with the credit card machines because they were a little different up there. And we laughed when I gave the poor waiter a 99-cent tip. It was a little embarrassing. We had to kind of back up. But we were constantly asking. And we need to remember that in the church. our tradition. We've always done it that way. We know how it is. And so we don't think about those who might not know the Lord's Prayer, might not know what we mean by the things that we say in here. And so we always need to be thinking about those who are coming within our midst. Holidays. We have always done it that way. We come together. It is a good time. But it can be a bittersweet time, too, because we often are remembering those who are missing at the table. And so as we come into the holiday seasons, especially we as a church, we need to be sensitive to those who've lost loved ones. And our holidays may not be as bright and wonderful as we think because of that tradition. It can be painful, too. Well, tradition can also be bad if we're rigid, if we refuse to compromise. It happens as it can hurt the minority in a group. And by minority, I just mean those who are, like in our group, in our church, that would be those who are single and young, or the children. They're a smaller group within the larger group. And so we need to constantly be thinking about how inviting we are to all to come to the table, but yet, keep our tradition. Keep the tradition, but use the tradition for good. We don't want them to become monuments or idols. Well, in Fiddler on the Roof, they became off balance when Tevye's daughters began to fall in love. And in the town of Annette, I can't say it again, but anyway, they always had a matchmaker. And so the matchmaker figured out who would marry who, and that's who the children would marry. Well, Tevye's oldest daughter came and said she was in love with the cobbler, and so it threw his world off balance. And then the second daughter came to him, too, and she was in love, and it threw him off balance again. And that can happen, especially I know one church where they brought in the pastor, new pastor, brought in too much change too quick, I think without enough explanation or asking and talking dialogue around the issue. And so he came in and actually it was the church Lindsay and I were married in, and he took out the pulpit, he took out the choir, all they have is a praise team, no pulpit, and then these beautiful, very, very old tapestries that were in the narthex, took them all down and just made everything contemporary, and it was overnight. And they lost a lot of people. They gained people, though, too. But I think it's that off balance there where they didn't talk through it some. They didn't figure out a better way to maybe do that change. You can imagine in our country, we would be off balance if all of a sudden there was a law that said we couldn't have fireworks on 4th of July. There'd be a great outcry. I think that sometimes when we don't have funerals, that can be a time, too, an illustration of throwing it all out, and often for all different kinds of reasons, but without finding something to replace it. And I love it. My mom lost a very dear friend 2 weeks ago, and mom goes out once a month with a group of wonderful women, all different ages, great ladies, and Stella was the matriarch of this group. And Stella would organize it, get everyone ready, tell who was going to get in which car. We'd get to the luncheon place, have lunch, and we'd all go back to Stella's house. I got to go with them a couple times. We went back to Stella's to have something to eat. Well, Stella passed away a couple weeks ago, and she told this group, "I do not want a funeral." Well, that's painful and that's hard, but she said, "I do not want the funeral." But instead, they're carrying on the tradition in a new way. Stella said, "I want you to go to the same place they go. It's a casino. They don't go in, it's in California, so they don't go, they just go to eat. They don't gamble, at least they didn't when I was there. But so she said, "I want you still to go to that same place. I want you to have this drink, and I want you to eat this dessert." And so this week, they're going to get together, and that will be their closure. That will be the carrying on of that tradition, but in just a little bit different, in a Stella way, which would be so Stella. I love it. Well, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and they said, oh, you're not doing the tradition the way that we've always said it needed to be done. Verse 5, it says, so the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? You see, the washing of hands was done by the Jewish population. It wouldn't have been something that the Gentiles would have known about. And so what they're saying is, why don't you keep the doors shut? We don't want to open it up to just anybody. Now, you're messing it up. You're making it harder for us if we're going to allow anybody to come into our group, those who would not normally ritually wash their hands. We want only those who wash their hands. You're setting a bad example. You're blurring the lines. Well, the disciples, though, had already been blurring the lines. They'd already been eating with the Gentiles. They'd already been opening things up little by little. I'm sorry, not eating with the Gentiles, but eating with the unclean, by eating with those who were not Jewish and with tax collectors and those kinds of folks. And so the disciples had already opened up that gate, shall we say, in the fence. But it's interesting, they said, the Pharisees said, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders? Not God's law, but the tradition of the elders, those who are the leaders in the church, those who guarded the law, those who are putting a fence around the law. And you know, the bad thing about fences is that you've got to keep maintaining them. So they had to keep watching to make sure somebody wasn't messing up, not obeying their interpretation of the law. But Jesus upheld the tradition of God's law. And he pushed that even farther by saying, you need to remember your neighbor as you are obeying God's law, not the tradition of the elders. And so there's healthy ritualization. There's healthy tradition. Staying away from the rigid, but finding ways to move on in healthy ways. Things that are meant for survival in the abundance in life. You know, Tevye struggled with it, with his daughters, whether they should maintain tradition and he should force that on them, which he did with one of the daughters, or whether he could hear their words, and their words were, and I love the scene where he says, tradition, but he loves her, and she loves him. And of course, Tevye loved both of them. And so he moved away from that tradition a little bit. I had the privilege in one of my churches to baptize some young people, and they came to me, they were teenagers, and they came to me and they said, my dad was baptized by the first pastor in this church, but baptized in the river. And they said, we would lie, and it was two of them, two young boys, and they said, we would like to be baptized by the first female pastor in our church, but we want to do it in the river again. And so we took that old tradition that in their family, and we went down to the river, but then I added in letting the fathers come out into the river and help me baptize these young people. And we had the choir standing there, and they sang going down to the river to pray. And so we took some of the old symbolism, the shared experience of their family of doing it in the river, and then we brought in some of the new too. And so those kinds of things can be made new. But then there's other traditions that we need to hang on that are glue around here. Saying the Lord's Prayer, coming to the communion table, the reading of scripture and prayer, and speaking, singing praises in our worship service. These are traditions that we need to hang on to while continually re-examining. We need to bring in rather than keep out. And what we do needs to be driven by love. These are beautiful words from Isaiah, which Jesus quotes in verse 6 and 7. He says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts and doctrines." In other words, putting extra on, not listening to the heart in their worship and in what they were doing. We need to be driven by love. We need to think about tradition and gospel. How do the two come together? How do we bring ourselves into God's presence? How do we live life here as the fiddler on the roof, trying to maintain a meaningful tune, but without breaking our necks? How do we come to God in this place of worship? Let's bow for just a moment of meditation and prayer. God, may we continually worship you with integrity and with love. Amen.